Jimmy Himes, along with Vince Farrar, and we are very pleased to be joined by Dale Murphy, one of the all-time greats with the Atlanta Braves. His number three has been retired, a great player for the Braves for many, many years. You had a chance to watch him on TBS for a lot of those years. He'll be speaking at Harden Valley. That'll be February the 2nd. Dale, how are you?
Doing great. Thank you for having me on, and I'm looking forward to getting to Harden Valley Academy in February. It's going to be great. I always look forward to getting back to Tennessee. That's where I started my career in Kingsport. So I got fond memories about Tennessee for sure.
Dan, did you play in Knoxville, minor league baseball?
Yeah, 1 year Knoxville was – I was in the Southern League in Savannah, and Knoxville was in our league.
Yeah.
So that was 76. And I've been to Knoxville before, and people said, I know what ballpark you played at. I don't know if that ballpark's still there. I think there was a big hill in right field. That's what I remember.
Bill Meyer Stadium, which is no longer host to baseball, but that's where you would have played then. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. So I started in Kingsport in rookie league and had a great experience there. And I was a scared kid from Portland, Oregon. Didn't know what I was doing or where I was, but I had a great experience.
Was there culture shock for you coming from Portland to the South?
Yeah, I never had grits before, so that was the start. And I think I had country ham, and I thought just ham was ham, you know. And then I found out there was country ham, and the humidity. I might add that as well. But we had a great time. I think we played at Dobbins Bennett. I think it's the high school there.
Yes,
that was our field. I stayed at the Port of Kings Hotel in downtown Kingsport. I don't know if it's still there, but it was culture shock and homesickness and all of it rolled into one.
The Atlanta Braves make what many consider an improbable run to the World Series. They lost Ronald Acuna. They were below 500 around the All-Star break, and then they got on a tear. How thrilling was it for you to watch Atlanta Braves win the World Series?
It was incredible. I still do a lot of things with the Braves and connected to them. I get to Atlanta a lot, but at this age, I'm also a fan. But I think a lot of us guys that had played back, in the '80s, have a connection to Brian Snitker. So it was just so great for all of us to see him and Ronnie, his wife, what they had been through and the ups and downs of committing to baseball for all these years, minor league coaching, et cetera, and traveling, and then to see them, win the World Series. It was just really thrilling. And there was, Acuna got hurt, like you said, Soroka didn't come back, and there's so many storylines in this run that it just made it really compelling. A lot of people have said it'd make a great movie, and I agree with them. I think it would be fascinating to break that season down and all the things that went on, and then to be the underdogs throughout the playoffs and into the World Series and to win it all. It was something we'll never forget.
So, Dale, that's got to be pretty exciting for you to think about with all those guys that will be back next year and what they already have shown that they can accomplish this year. I know they'll have a target on their back for sure, but that still has to be pretty exciting to think that maybe the Braves can do something special next year as well.
Yeah, it'll be tough. There's no question about it. Baseball is probably the hard – I don't think we've had anybody repeat since the Yankees.
Right.
Back-to-back. I mean, we've had people repeat, but not back-to-back years. So it's going to be tough. They're already not the favorites. I saw that. The Dodgers are already the favorites for next year. So, but they got a great culture there. Brian Snitker gets the most out of his players. Guys love to play for him. I'll tell you, it's going to be a real interesting offseason with the lockout and free agent signings, and Freddie Freeman isn't signed yet. I mean, there's a lot of things going on this offseason that I think is going to get our attention.
What do you recall the most about your transition from minor league baseball to major league baseball? That last year in AAA, you had a jump up to 22 home runs that year, and then got the call up. And then, you know, once you got in 78, that home run number was really consistent. What was the key, do you think, or what stood out about that transition from minor league baseball to the Braves?
Well, thankfully, I had Bobby Cox there, and he was great to play for. And he believed in us. We were a bunch of young players. We were losing a lot of games. And I came up into a situation that was, you know, not a lot of pressure. And Bobby didn't put pressure on players as well. He believed in you. He's going to give you a chance. I guess I knew I had a little bit of margin for error. I didn't have to press once I got up there. I think the main thing is the caliber. Day in, day out, no matter what level, even in AAA, what you're facing is pitchers that are ready to go up, or pitchers that, you know, are not going to make it and to the big leagues. So, you know, the day in, day out of facing a big league pitcher in a big league bullpen, and also the other thing probably was the defense. You know, you hit some balls in AAA and in the minor leagues that are base hits. The get into the gap and the speed is completely different in the big league. So there's, you know, that's the tough challenge. The other part of it is, at least when I played, you know, you could see the ball a lot better because we still played in some ballparks with not very good lights back then. Now they're all fine, but major league ballparks are great. Lights, the field is level, so you got some things that are really to your advantage. And then I think one kind of strange thing I think about is the pitchers in the big leagues are there because they have good control. And so what you find when you get to the big leagues is there's usually a pitch to hit if you're facing a major league pitcher. It doesn't mean he's not going to get you out most of the time. But a good pitcher is going to give you something to hit. You're still battling some guys that are pretty wild in the minor leagues. And so once you get up there, you're like, hey, these, you know, I'm going to get a pitch to hit, make sure I hit it, and just keep going. But the mental adjustment is just the fact that you're facing, you know, big league competition every single day and every single at bat.
I guess Dale Murphy, he'll be the featured speaker at Hardin Valley February the 2nd. Dale, you won the back-to-back MVP awards 1982 and 83. When you won it in 82, you were the first Brave to win it since Hank Aaron in 1957, and that was with the Milwaukee Braves. And I wonder, what was your relationship with Hank Aaron?
Well, Hank, a lot of people don't realize that I missed Hank. He was with the organization, but when I signed in 74 and made it to the major leagues in 78, Bill Lucas was over the minor leagues and then became general manager with the Braves. When Hank retired, and Hank left the Braves in 75, so that was my first spring training. So I was not at a spring training with Hank. And then when I made it to the big leagues, Hank retired and came back to work for the Braves. And then he was over the minor leagues. So I was already in the big leagues, so I didn't have a connection to Hank except for the fact that, you know, he was there. His office, of course, was there at Fulton County Stadium. He saw a lot of us play, but I always thought it was interesting. He'd come down and talk to us about hitting and talk to me personally about hitting, but he only did it when he was invited by our hitting coach. He didn't, you know, he had a job. He was over the minor leagues. And he wanted to respect that, and he wanted to respect our hitting coaches. So, you know, and so I'd see him occasionally, but it just wasn't a straight up relationship where he was over the minor leagues when I was already in the big leagues. So I didn't have that kind of relationship. But then through the years, you know, I just really treasured the opportunity I had to associate with him, say hi to him, and you know, feel part of the same organization as Hank Aaron.
As we mentioned, two MVPs, seven All-Star games, five straight Gold Gloves. You had 398 home runs, Hall of Fame credentials, but you're not in the Hall of Fame. Do you lose any sleep over that?
Not really. I've been on a, you know, I went through the whole regular ballot process, and now I'm in the new era where they have four different eras, and they rotate every year and concentrate on that era. And I'm in the modern game era, which goes from like 78 to 88 or something like that. So I'm in that era with those guys. And so I get a chance every, you know, 3 or 4 years as they rotate. And I think I'm up again with the possibility in 2 years. So, you know, I knew when I retired, it wasn't going to be a shoe-in. And I never expected to go be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think I have some players that are comparable to what I've done. And I knew it would take some time. And so I'm, you know, I'm still optimistic, but I don't think about it too much because I've been through it before. I've had people say this is your year and it didn't work. So I kind of just, you know, I'm kind of just sitting back and watching but I'm thankful to still have a chance. They changed the voting for guys like me to get considered a little bit more thoroughly. So we'll see in a couple of years.
You're in the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame, the Oregon Sports Hall of Fame, but I wonder, Dale, is it just as meaningful to you that you won the Roberto Clemente Award, that you won the Lou Gehrig Award, that you're an SI Sportsman of the Year, and you're in the Humanitarian Hall of Fame? Are those just as meaningful to you?
Those awards, you know, come from, you know, community service and things like that. So, yeah, very thankful to be a part of that, of those recipients of the awards you mentioned. No question about it. I think there's, you know, most ball players, you know, give back to the community in the ways that they can. And so it was always a thrill for us, Nancy and I and the kids, to be a part of the communities we were in, wherever that was, mostly with Atlanta. And, you know, that was the fun part of being able to play. You could have a really good impact.
Dale, how's business at your restaurant, Murph's?
Well, we're really thankful the Braves went to the World Series, for sure. Going through the playoffs and into the World Series, we had a great time, and we did well. It's been tough for all restaurants last couple years, but we got a great team there, and we're looking forward to hosting a few events there. I'm sure on social media people will see them throughout the winter. And looking forward to having another good year. We've had a great experience so far. So we had a busy playoff and World Series run. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I bet. Hey, Dale, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to seeing you in Knoxville. Look forward to you speaking at Hardin Valley on February the 2nd. And thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Dale.
Thank you so much. I can't wait to get there and see everybody there February 2nd again at Hardin Valley Academy, and we're raising some money for the baseball team, and I can't think of a better thing for young people to be involved in the great sport of baseball. So I'll see you there, and looking forward to it, February 2nd.
All right. Thank you, Dale. Dale Murphy.
Thanks, guys.
Atlanta Braves, great. The number 3 retired by the Braves. And that leadoff dinner is going to be at 6 p.m. February the 2nd. General admission tickets, $25. Meet and greet tickets, $100. VIP tables, $900. VIP 2 tables, $1,300.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.